Nation of Japan this last month. Unbelievable scenes, unbelievable stories, tsunami, earthquake, nuclear issues. You've seen it all, blanket coverage, since none of us, I'm sure, might even forget those images for a long, long time, essentially on the northeastern part of that country. Well, my next guest happened to be in Tokyo as it happened, and he's here in the city for the Imagine Create Digital Festival at McGee, but he's taken time out to come and see us. Professor Kotsuyuki Shibata, good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon.
Very nice to have you here.
Thank you very much.
Professor, before I talk to you about your remarkable work, what was it like for you being in Tokyo as it happened?
Well, in fact, I live in Fukuoka. It's the southern part of Japan. And in fact, the earthquake and the tsunami happened in the north. So I was not directly affected.
Did you feel it at all? It seemed to reverberate through much of the country.
Yes, but only the cities along the coast, sea coast. In the southern part of Japan, near my town, a tsunami was only 40 centimeters or 80 centimeters, while in the north, the tsunami was of the height 10 meter, 15 meter, and 20 meters, so comparable with the north.
But as the story unfolds, Professor, Tokyo then starts to fear, like the rest of Japan and indeed other nations, about the nuclear dangers and all the rest. I mean, at what stage did you start to know that this was a very serious issue?
Well, I have my son and daughter working in Tokyo, but living in Saitama. It's a neighboring prefecture north to Tokyo, and they met this accident while they are working in their office. And they couldn't go home because all the public traffic was deadlocked by the accident, and my son was obliged to spend one night in his office, and my daughter, who is waiting for her third baby in May, she was obliged to walk home, but the street was the street light was not illuminated because of the electric breakdown. So she was obliged to walk and walk, and her husband, the son-in-law of myself, tried to meet her, but the cars are deadlocked on the street.
And that's a way down the country. And I mean, closer to Fukushima and these places. Do you have friends or family in the further north reaches of Japan?
No.
So you're lucky in that sense.
Yeah, in that sense, yes.
Yes, Professor. Before I talk about your amazing work, I was checking it out earlier this week. Explain to us the Japanese psyche. Many countries would be on their knees. We've seen, as it unfolded, pictures of people simply picking stuff up and getting on with the day's work and trying to re-establish this incredible, we would say, backbone of the people. Describe what that and where that comes from in the Japanese mind.
Well, from my point of view, maybe 2 points can be pointed out. One is our tradition, historical and cultural tradition, and the second one is the very special system of education in our primary school. Japanese education may lay great importance in art education and physical education, as well as moral education. And children are educated so that they become a good citizen, and they should contribute to the society to the extent they can. So I think in this kind of situation, I dare not say that all Japanese, but many Japanese are so educated and so disciplined, I think.
So many people will simply rebuild. But the heartache, think it's not that your hearts aren't broken, but we don't see it. I mean, the Japanese nation maybe needs not to show that its heart is broken.
But our heart is broken. And as myself, I was not directly affected, but after March 11, I watched television every day, and the scene was so horrible that my heart was so much terrified. And I now have the impression that any accident may happen any time, so I was rather afraid of leaving Japan and come to Europe.
Mm-hmm. And the global response has been interesting as well. You see, for us, I think if it was in Malin, you know, up the road there, mm-hmm. you know, everybody would just go and help. It just seems to me Japan can get up the next day and try to get back to work. It's remarkable, in a sense.
No, it's not. I don't think it's going so well in Japan.
Yeah. Professor, let me talk about your work. Tell mm-hmm. me firstly about the invite to be part of Imagine Create. Mm-hmm. Basically, your work focuses on the digital interface between languages. Now, tell me about
that's
that.
That's right. Well, I'm majoring in machine translation, which means that we translate a sentence in one language to another language using the computer.
Yes.
Essentially, briefly, this is the... this is what I am working on.
So it's not just translation
yes.
of text. It's the entire wedges of software are translated immediately. Tell me what's new about your work.
Well, people want to make software to sell or software to serve business work, but my interest is to analyze what I am thinking during the translation. So I try my best to the way of my thinking in my brain to describe in computer data or computer program.
How do you deal with, you know, nuances and puns? Mm. Phrases like, you know, the spirit is willing but the flesh is weak. That's a saying here. Mm. But it doesn't mean the spirit like whiskey. It means the spirit of... How do you deal with one word that can mean 3, 4, 5 things?
Yeah, that's a good point. For example, English word address.
Yes.
Several meanings.
My address is my home address and my speech.
Yes, that's right.
Yes.
And in Japanese language, we use the third Japanese to express computer memory address. We say address. That's the imported word from English.
Yes.
So I have dozens or sometimes 50 choice rules to investigate the context of the input sentence,
yes.
and the rule tells the translation system, which is the most suitable one for the context.
Yes, but what about sarcasm? Are the Japanese people sarcastic, for example? Sarcasm.
I don't know the word.
Sarcasm. Here, if I was saying to you, you're a great fella, you're a great fellow,
mm-hmm.
it can mean the opposite. So by saying to you, Professor,
I understand.
He's a great guy, yeah. and they mean the opposite.
Uh-huh.
How can software differentiate?
No, it can't differentiate. And even a human translator, if he's too honest, he cannot translate exactly correctly.
What's your message for Imagine Create, Professor? What are you saying to us about where this digital platform might take us? What are you telling us?
I was so much impressed by the Imagine Create event. A month ago, Professor Paul McKevitt,
yeah?
Yeah. He sent me an email informing me about this event. And arriving at this city, I was very much impressed with the contrast of the old things and new things. I saw the wall and old buildings, and new buildings and new institutions of the university.
Yes.
And the at the entrance of the university building, I saw many new departments of the electronic engineering combined with the neuroscience and bioscience.
Yes.
So
impressive.
Impressive, yes.
Well,
very impressive.
Good. That's good to hear from somebody of your standing. Professor, thank you for speaking to us today and good luck with the conference.
Thank you very much.
Thank you indeed. That's Professor Kotsuyuki Shibata, who is here with us as part of the Imagine Create agenda at the heart of McGee, which we've talked about many times with Dr. Paul Moore and indeed Professor Paul McKevitt at the heart of that as well. The professor is here to talk about real-time machine translation of software, but also, of course...